Hello everyone, welcome to another IT Career Talk with Professionals. And today, I have an AVP of Product Management. But before we begin, please do hit that red button, subscribe button, and notification bell. So my guest today is Ms. Kimi Samaniego. Hello, Ms. Kimi.
Hi, Rafi. Hi guys, I'm Kimi. Thanks for inviting me to this show.
Right. So Ms. Kimi, can you describe for us what an AVP of product management is?
Right. So basically, Rafi, I manage our people. I manage our people, our department. So basically, it's business analysts and scrum masters, and the processes and responsibilities that we take on. To do this, I coordinate with other department heads and the management, and also some other employees as well.
Right.
Like
right.
Okay.
What are the skills, no, or hard skills, or values that you have to possess to become an AVP of product management?
Well, I guess before I became an AVP or a managerial role, I had to be a business analyst and a scrum master first. So for BA, the technical ones, it's requirements management. You know, when we develop products, we need to manage the requirements of that product. So it's management of requirements. In Scrum, it's the Scrum itself. And I think it's more on the orchestration of the whole thing, you know, from ideation until planning, and then the actual implementation, then maintenance and whatever. Now, we ensure that we deliver great value to our clients. So right now it's more on, when I was promoted, I think it's more on process management and people management. So how we can optimize processes, leadership skills. I make sure that my teammates are provided with the right motivation, support, and feedback. Because yeah, product development is complex by nature, and we aim to lessen the complexities of it. Our people have to have that right mindset and support to do that. It's quite messy. So I am their guide. With that comes building relationships, so that follows.
Right.
Building relationship, management, being on top of things, and siguro working with other people as well. So those types of things,
right,
skills.
Right. And you would say that's your management style, being a guide from
Yes. Yeah, sorry. But I think my management style, are you asking me what my
Yes. How do you describe your management style? Yes.
Okay. So there are two, siguro. In dealing with my team, I build relationships first. So that's my priority, because I believe that if we bridge the relationship with your team or the seniority gap, kasi diba, if you have a supervisor, of course there's a gap, diba? So what I aim is to bridge that gap so that we are comfortable with each other and we have that open and honest relationship with trust and respect. And at the same time, where I can carefully set boundaries then and understand them at a personal level. So that's how I deal with my team. In coaching and mentorship, I set regular check-ins and encourage two-way feedback so that I can also get their feedback for me. So we can both learn from each other. I promote knowledge sharing sessions. What else? I clearly document processes whenever I encounter a process. So I document it. I provide handbooks or guides so that they are properly onboarded. I always remind my team of some important things like updating their trackers or some documentations. And I make sure that I'm on top of all their projects so I can relate to them whenever they tell me something about those projects. Kasi they're reporting to me, right? So I support them all the way. That's my management style.
See. a great management style. You mentioned two things, no, na I want to ask further. One is your the promotion of knowledge share. How do you promote? You know, as management, we want to make sure that our team and our team developers grow. How do you incentivize them to do this knowledge sharing?
Actually, I'm not sure on promoting it, but what I do, what I noticed is that it's part of our culture in the company. So we all have this continuous learning, that sort of culture. So it was never an effort for me. So when I tell them, oh, let's have a knowledge sharing session next week, they are so excited. They become very excited. So I think siguro leading by example, because I always tell them that I continuously read and watch videos that can help our tasks or responsibilities.
Right.
So that's one. I always have regular knowledge sharing sessions, and I always make sure that they all attend.
And are you the main lecturer, or do you get volunteers? Is it like a round robin? Is it like simul viewing? What's the format that you follow?
Okay. So, I encourage them to be the speaker or lecturer. So, as much as possible, because I'm always coaching them, I make sure that everyone has the opportunity to teach. And before they teach, syempre, I have to check what their topics would be, and then they would explain it to me, or we would help each other. But most of the time, they can do it by themselves. I really have a great team.
Right. I try to promote like a Learning Friday, no? So it's a 1 hour afternoon Friday. What's the best time for you, for your team so far?
Best time for my team? Actually, it's a hard question. It's a difficult question because since we're Scrum Masters and Business Analysts, we barely have time for kinds of things. So I make sure to block their Fridays. We have huddles, 1 hour, something like that, every week. But for the knowledge sharing session, the lecturer has the freedom to pick the schedule, and just every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks, right. That's a great, great way to promote learning or continuous learning. No?
Well, another thing is I encourage them to have this learning hour every day. So it should be outside their working hours. So I encourage them to read articles, especially about Scrum, because it's always something new is always on the internet about it. So siguro yung latest is the anti-patterns, and we could relate to those anti-patterns, and we learned a lot from it. So
I see.
Reading articles.
Other question I want to ask on this, or at least not on what you mentioned, was the documentation of processes and knowledge. Do you have any particular tool that you would suggest to our viewers or management? Like, is it a shared Google Doc? Is it like a wiki page? What tools have been effective for you for documentation? You know, naman sa tech, there's really some people who don't like documentation. But maybe you can share some insights now.
Okay, so we use Confluence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we use Confluence. But quite honestly, right now, I'm more inclined to using Google Documents, Google Drive. Kasi it's easier to use. And siguro easier to teach also. No, anyone can collaborate without that learning curve, diba?
Right.
And you have problems of siguro linking it to other documents as well.
I see. Right now, this sessions that you mentioned, your learnings, Scrum, we're all doing this remotely, no? How do you feel about remote work so far?
Well, I think remote working was effective for me, or it's working for me as far as I can feel. I started to build a routine kasi. You know naman, last year, a lot of people were depressed and it was a big change. So, I read a lot about lot of self-help books and podcasts. So, I started to build a routine. Actually, my supervisor, he told me to build a morning routine. So, I got used to it naman. I get to be with my family remote working. Kasi I'm from Bicol. Right now, I'm in Albay. So, where the Majestic Mayon is. So, I had to be away to work in Manila for my family. So, that was before the pandemic. I only go home 1 to 2 times a year. But now, with the new setup, I can work from home. And I can be with my family and my dogs. So, I think it's working for me.
Right.
And it's the IT industry, software industry. I think it's very possible to collaborate remotely.
Right. And I don't know if you know this already or not. Do you feel like it's here to stay for your company at least?
Again, sorry.
It's here to stay. Parang your company or your team will probably operate at remote working. Until the indefinite future.
That I'm not sure, but I think they're open to do it. You see, it's right now it's working.
Right.
Yes. But we do have an office. We do have an office in Ortigas, and we're free to go there if we wish to work on site.
Right. So, how does one, in terms of the educational background, in terms of career path, no, become an AVP? How did you know when you were maybe in high school that this is product management is what I want to be in? How was your journey like?
Yeah, so that's funny, no? Kasi just siguro 2 weeks ago, I posted about it on Facebook. Okay, so this is my story. When I was in high school, I had no clue on what I would be, unlike my sister who really wanted to be a doctor. And then parang nakaka-frustrate that I didn't know what to do or what I would be in the next 10 years or so. So what I did was just take off some, alam mo yon, mahalimuyak sa na courses. So computer science was something new, and okay, so it's not an engineering course, which I hate kind of, and it doesn't involve chemistry.
Okay.
I was
so
doing
chemistry.
Away with chemistry. I was looking for courses that didn't have chemistry involved. So computer science, and then I passed the DOST scholarship. The exam, and it did parang a lot for me, you know, the stipend and then the book allowance and then the whatever transpo. So the computer science, when I took the exam for UP, so I ticked off computer science and then sa DOST din. So it all made sense, parang a science course. So okay, I was a scholar. Sige, go. When I was in college now, when I got to college, it was very hard. It was so difficult for me. Everything was new, programming. It wasn't taught in high school. So parang nagkaroon ako ng sort of friction dun sa course ko. But when I knew, siguro third year, COMSAI 128 in UPLB, that's the exact course. I knew that programming is not just the track that you can take. So when I graduated, I applied as a programmer and I got in. It's a research unit in UP Manila, PGH. So it's National Telehealth Center. This one, I was a software developer. We were creating medical record systems and their reports for DOH. I had fun naman, okay lang. But then after a year, a post for instructor in UPLB opened. So I tried again because that was the moment again na di ko na naman alam what I really wanted to do. So
right.
I took the opportunity and then I passed. For 2 years, I taught in UPLB. But then again, I guess it has to something to do with my personality. I'm an ENFP, if you know that, Myers-Briggs. I am never parang stuck. I don't want to get stuck in something. So I tried looking for what I really would want. So I tried developing again. And then parang naging trigger siya na, oh, this is not something na I can use all my skills. So I backtracked. What are my skills? My skills include leadership. So I'm the eldest. I think I lead very well. So leadership, communication. I like dealing with people more than the codes. That's one of the reasons why I think development isn't working for me. Kasi I had to talk to people in order to be happy or to be satisfied. So I checked some of the roles that I can take on in the industry. Kasi it's hard shifting industries, diba?
Right.
So I found out about project management and then business analysis. It includes a lot of collaboration. So I tried business analysis and I liked it at once. And the idea that you can get the high or the bigger picture of a product and then you can dive deep into the details, I like that fact about business analysis. And then project management as well, I like the idea that I can lead people and processes. So when I got into our company White Flow, I was the first BA, and it was a challenge because I was dealing with big clients, you know, our clients, Union Bank, Ayala. So instantly I liked it. I liked working with our clients and our management, and I had great mentors there. Our CEO is a very good mentor, our CTO. So when we started to grow, ayan, I started to build my team,
right,
the BA team. And then there, we had to build our Scrum team as well because we have to have that a lot of Scrum Masters kasi projects are coming in. So that's how I got into the role. I was the first BA, so I was the... But I think... did I answer your question?
Yes, of course. No. Right. Yeah, so it's very interesting that you mentioned about, you know, looking back, looking at the skills and the basically your background already, no? And you said, you know, communication, being a teacher, IT, being a developer, product management seemed like it's a natural fit for you to explore, you know, harmonize all of these skills that you had. You mentioned... Just to
it was
be...
like sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It was like a great parang eureka moment na, oh, okay, so I got all these skills that this role needs or requires. So why not try it?
Right. I wanted to ask lang very quickly lang. Now that you are the AVP of product management, but since you had a background of a software developer, do you have any coding? Do you have any coding tasks for you, that you give yourself, or mostly distributed talaga sa developers?
No, I'm not coding right now, and I think we have another department for that. But I used to code.
Right, right.
I used Python and PHP. It was years ago, some years ago.
Right, right. And again, the idea here, Lana, it shows that, you know, you can still be very successful even if you don't code. That I think, but it has helped you. It has helped you manage your team because you had the background of it.
Yes, it's a big plus if you have a background of programming. Actually, I know some people who are very good programmers right now who wanted to be a Scrum Master. Mm. Yeah. So I think it's all up to your passion. But after trying out, testing the waters, where do you feel alive? Parang ganun. Na parang feeling mo you're not a robot. You're doing what you love.
Speaking about, you know, when you were building your team, so obviously you were hiring or you're grooming people to join your team. What was your, you know, hiring components or strategy? Were you looking for things like certification? How did you hire, in other words?
Yeah, so I think our roles, BAs and Scrum Masters, are kind of tricky because kumbaga, anyone can do this. Writing requirements, talking to clients, and then talking to people, other stakeholders. But I think since the foundation is easy and can be learned,
right?
So the thing that I look at the most when hiring is the core values. I look at our company's culture code. So we have this culture. And for every hire, I look at the applicant if he or she has that value. So for example, this person is, for example, he's not so open, or he's not that, based on his answers during the interview, hindi siya ganun katapang. So that's a minus. Parang because you can be so good at something technical, pero you're not so proactive enough, and so you get left out when issue arises, or you know when to do what to do when something happens, but you fail at an execution level. So when hiring people, yung character talaga yung tinitingnan ko. I give a lot of situational questions. Technical stuff can be learned. Usually what I do is I hire somebody, if they weren't certified, okay lang na walang certification. And if they have the experience, they can get the certification. Alam yun, parang when you get in, you pass. You experience those things, and of course, meron namang probationary, right? And if they prove that they are good in this role, it's their choice to get the certification. For me, personally, it doesn't matter, but it's a big plus, especially if you want to build your personal brand.
So I have a last question left for you, no? Which is, what are your advices to our audiences? And hello also to our other guest. No? What's the name of our other guest?
Hello. It's Crunch, my dog. I'm so sorry.
No, that's totally fine. No? That's the perks of working from home, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you're asking for my advice.
Yes, so what's your advice on for our audience?
For your audience in general or how to?
Siguro, the way we frame this is, you know, if you were able to give yourself an advice when you were graduating, what were the things that you would advise yourself? That's how we can position it, no? So that maybe others will also pick up. You know, had you known this pala, then you would have done this. Parang ganyan.
Yeah, okay. So, in my some years of working in the industry and a lot of roles as well, I think ito yung mga sana I should have known when I was graduating or in my first years of work. I should have a morning routine. So I should read a chapter of a book every day. So that's what I do. It. Work out, eat your breakfast, don't skip it. Shower, get to work, meditate. Yeah. Make sure I always read books kasi I read three genres of books every day. So one is something related to my job, something like since my job is a Scrum, ganyan, essential Scrum, Lean Agile, one self-help book. Right now I just finished the book Atomic Habits. Yeah, it's a great book, by the way. And a fiction to help me get to sleep kasi I think some would agree na mahirap makatulog nowadays. And if you're working and you get stressed about a lot of stuff about work, so you need to relax before you sleep, you try to sleep. What else? Self-reflect and self-learn. Learn from mistakes, you know? Every week siguro take time to reflect on yourself, how the week went by so far. And what else? Get a dog to help with your depression or something when times are difficult, you know. Get a solid support system. So I have my family, I have my mentors, my colleagues, my teammates. Yun, so I think that's it. What else? Really know your passion. So ask yourself, what is the one thing that even if you don't get paid for, you would do it? So that's the thing that you love the most. And you have to get your ikigai, reason for being. That's it.
Just to expand, no? Especially to our audience who might have not heard of ikigai before, can you just quickly define what ikigai is?
It's a reason for being, parang where it's a Japanese term, I think. Uh-huh. What you love, what you are good at, what the world needs, what else is the fourth one? And
you get paid for
something. I just forgot about it, but where, yeah, so parang you have to find that thing that makes you really I found it, this is it, parang ganon. Yun, what I love, what I'm good at, what the world needs, and what I can be paid for. So those are the four, and then you can imagine those four circles, and the one at the center, it's your ikigai or your reason for being.
So guys, audience, no, I hope you've learned something from our session, and maybe you can also comment, no, what you believe is your ikigai, no, or maybe for those those who are, you know, discovered their ikigai, you can also comment there in below, no, in our comment section. And if you want to reach out to me, if you're watching, listening on Spotify or in Apple Podcasts, you can also message me as the author. But before we go, Miss Kimmy, do you have any last shout out naman?
Shout out, okay. Alright, so shout out to my amazing team, Scrumba, you guys are great. To my company, White Cloak, by the way, we are hiring, guys. We're a great company. We're hiring back-end developers, ayan. I don't know about the rest, but I'm sure of the back-end developers. So if you're interested, you can reach out to Sir, subscribe sa channel niya first, and then you can message him to connect you to me.
Right.
Or you can check our website, White Cloak Technologies.
All right. Thank you so much again.
And of course, Dr. Rafi.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me to do this. It's been great sharing to you what I've learned for all these years.
Right. So thank you so much again, and to our audience, goodbye.
Bye. Subscribe, like.
And if you like our content, don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe button, and notification bell.